Everybody else will be heard more than me. If you put it right there, blow it out. So.
I'd like to put it far away from myself as well.
Well, okay. I'll leave that up to you, but when I did the transcripts last year, I played it back and it was all... I forgot her name now, but anyway. And then you'd hear mumbling. So we will soldier through. Well, actually.
This is actually corn, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking like I'm the chairman. Yeah. I have to be selected.
Well, you were the previous chairman, so you...
Here comes Tracy.
So you go ahead and lead.
Is that true? I was vice chair.
I would say anyone can open the meeting because nobody's done...
Oh, that's true.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Carry on. That's probably her thing.
So we don't have anybody else that we figured in?
Okay, so this is your...
There's Tracy.
Probably your thing. This isn't the floor.
Yeah, is this okay? Are we sitting here?
No, I haven't finished floor.
Not for you.
I have to go either way.
I think, Aaron, that you probably need to... ask if there's nominations for the chair.
I think we have to bring the meeting to order first.
Yeah. Let's call the meeting to order. In that we have a quorum. Yep. Oh, thank you. I've got one ready. Okay. As everybody knows, this meeting is being recorded. And now we'll have an election of the chair and the vice chair.
I nominate Tim for the chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Are we going to have a vice chair, or do we think we need that?
I nominate Karen Moore to be the vice chair.
Second.
All approved?
Aye.
All approved. All in favor? Yeah. Okay, good. Now we have to sign our oath. Is that in this package?
Now I have it. Right here.
Yeah, he called me.
It says, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will well and truly hear and determine all matters that issue between taxpayers and listers submitted for my decision under the pains and penalties of perjury. And then we all sign it.
Okay.
I've never called my fucking back. Never called me back.
Is this Mike and Marla are out there in the office?
Yeah, never called me back. Anymore. So.
Hi.
So well, that was good.
Okay.
Just didn't figure it out. I mean, I had $5 to hold and hook everything in the event. But it was in pretty rough shape then.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a feeling like that's what you're talking about. I ain't been there for 6 years. Actually, I think I might have been pretty well done, so it might have been 5 years ago.
Jeffrey's going to be able to make it.
Jeff is not coming. And Flower, I didn't have contact.
Oh, okay.
And Jeff, recused himself.
Well, I saw his email, so I didn't think that he was, but I wanted to ask.
Aaron, I have a cell phone number for Flower.
See him. What are these numbers mean? That must be the ID number or something. Parcel number or ID number or something.
May I ask who the listeners are? Marla Waring, which she has to
report
to herself again.
And
Mike Wood and Rob Thompson.
Rain thing that we figured out before,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Thank you.
And this is the 2.5 here.
Actually, I was at town meeting when Merle walked in, got nominated for Portfield. David sat down.
I think this is Jeff.
And Tim sat next to me and goes, oh, that would be good for her.
The camp that we...
I think so.
Okay. So after you open the hearing, Tim...
Yes.
We do another oath.
We do what?
We do another oath.
Oh, okay.
This time with the appellants.
Oh, yes.
This one.
And the listers. Who are where?
I was wrong about the listers. The listers apparently don't have to do an oath because they do when they sign on for their term. But the appellant will have to, yes.
Okay.
But we don't have to do it again.
No.
And is that a signature or just hand up in the air? And
a signature. I have another sheet for him.
I see.
So we're just doing a dry run so that we get this right when they come in here in 45 minutes. that was a big complaint we had from the listers the last year when it was done.
Okay. But now they're not going to come until later on? Or?
Eric's supposed to be here at 6:15.
Okay. And he's the sole lister, or is
no, he's the,
no,
he's the appellant.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Marla.
Because I've
read Marla here. Will have to sit out, and we will have Mike Wood and...
Merle Thompson.
Merle. I'm reading his... about his property grievances. And just based on last year's meeting, the last inspection of the property probably was not inside the house. Was that a true statement?
I don't think we can talk about that until we actually open the hearing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think what we want
to get
square... We
just need to make sure that we, when we have people sitting up here, we can follow this in an orderly fashion. But you're probably going to have to get up and stand in front of everybody to do the oath in front of the listeners. Then you'll have to do it in front of the appellant. So we'll split these tables so it's easy for you to get through.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to crawl out around everybody.
Okay.
I believe, unless you can stand up there.
Well, I can stand right here, and they can on the other side of the table as far as that goes. So, okay.
I think the thing that bollocks us up last year was we didn't realize the question and answer process.
Right.
Then we didn't understand that when we came back after... the initial meeting, and heard from the inspection committee that there was a question and answer process that went on then as well. So I think that's why we need to have this meeting now before everybody gets started.
Yes, I was more concerned when Jeff got up in the middle of one of those meetings. He was not in agreement with something. I'm not clear anymore on exactly what. And I mean, we had the appellants here, and we were fumbling around, and I don't know. I think Jeff might have been embarrassed or something, but you know, we need to have all our ducks in a row before the townspeople show up. So, but we haven't done last year. We hadn't done an appeal in years, I think. So.
Yeah.
I certainly came thinking, I mean, that. But, yeah, we'll get through it. It'll be fine.
Yep.
It's just that I was reading ahead, as it were, and I wanted to ask a question, and nobody's here to ask the question of. Okay. So. Let's review down this list then and make sure we are sure what we're going to do.
Sounds good.
So we did our oaths. We talked about a little bit about the appeal process. To my mind, and please correct me if I'm wrong, this fella could have been on the crew last year. Matter of fact, when I saw it was back of the moon, I thought maybe it was one of the people that grieved, because didn't we have one case? That
we did.
Yeah. But this person isn't included with that owner.
No.
He's listing a number there. Is that a plot number or?
Do you know what those parcel numbers are that Eric's got on his paper?
We're not supposed to bring anything in, so I have not looked them up, but. I'm sure the listers are probably going to bring us information.
Yeah, well, that's why.
Because if Eric's using them as comps, then they'll want to also.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the chair states the name of the appellant and the parcel ID.
So it looks like the bulk of this at the beginning is the listers.
Yes.
Discussing it for us to witness.
So now, this step here where it says the appellant presents supporting evidence and valuation, is that essentially this paper, Aaron?
The listers will bring in their own information.
Right.
So basically when Eric comes in, you'll just state his name, his property location, and the parcel ID, which we have a SPAN number up at the top of his letter.
Yeah.
We don't have parcel ID, we just have a SPAN, but...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that.
And then Eric will sign an oath, the listers will not, just Eric will.
Okay.
And then the listers will introduce the property and speak to their valuation of it.
Yep.
Eric will respond to what they... Oh, no. Eric will present his own supporting evidence.
Okay.
And then the listers respond to him. And then we get to ask questions.
Okay.
And then the listers present their valuation and evidence. The appellant responds, and there's BCA questions. It's like... There's only a couple of times that we're really allowed to participate. We mostly just listen and look at their evidence.
Gotcha.
And then before we adjourn, we need a couple of people to be an inspection committee.
Yep.
That will set a date and time for an inspection.
Okay.
Not more than 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have to deliberate in less than 30 days. So.
Okay.
And so there's no decision today?
No.
No.
This is simply listen and learn.
Just to hear all the stuff and then set up the inspection. And then after the inspection, there will be an inspection report.
Right.
And that report's ready and we reconvene. We discuss, we read the report in front of the appellant, and then they leave, and we deliberate, and you guys make a decision.
So did you see?
And the inspection committee is made up of 3 members of this board.
Yes, you're emailed today.
Can we bring in a lister for?
No, there's no.
Yep.
Yeah, so I called Matt on that. I'm like, I'm assuming that the engineer.
Okay.
It's part of the process of motion to spend.
I'm glad that this 5:30.
I don't know what the engineer has been doing.
Organization claim is good.
Yeah.
That would be up to engineer.
We did fumble around a lot last year.
I don't know if the engineer is leaving.
Of course, Aaron being our first.
The concrete on both sides of the road, or if he's taking it out.
Appeal process with his.
Put the new culvert in, and I would assume he's taking it all out.
And I think we've got a, I think we've got our ducks in a row this year, but.
And you're just laying it on the rock, you don't have to move it out.
Those, I'm assuming anything that they find, we could have copies on it, so that we have that on here for our opinions.
They're gonna have to jackhammer it up anyway.
I'm sorry, no, that's okay. I'm assuming that when the appellant presents evidence and valuation, and the listers present the valuation evidence, that copies of those would be available for us when we go to do the inspection.
That's right.
I think the appellant is supposed to bring at least 3 copies.
Yeah. Okay.
Also very important for that.
What is it, just probably a bike rider?
Oh, yeah.
Getting down through the brug. But I didn't think, I'm pretty sure we cut all the rebar off it before we left.
You need to be educated a little bit more when that says.
It's just concrete laying there, I believe.
Parcel ID, so again.
And he actually didn't give us his parcel ID, he gave us his spam.
I just heard the fucking name, why is it?
Well, he gave his spam number here, but what are these numbers that you're referring to?
Those are comps. There are other houses that he thinks are comparable to his own. We don't have any information about those, so hopefully he or the listers will bring us something, because otherwise we can't.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, step one, then maybe.
If it's important to you, that's the parcel ID.
You do have a parcel ID?
One of my new tools. Okay, yeah.
Do you want me to put it on here? Because he's going to have to read it in the meeting.
Yeah, 019-622-4209. Read it back to me, would you please?
019-622-4209.
That's it.
That's yours, I stole it.
Thank you.
I said, well.
Right, that's good.
What, he was going to add it to the thing, and I'm like, well, you really need to ask me what his design. I mean, I'm sure he's got to fit it in, and what would he have? Anyway, it's part of the bid, you know.
Well, yeah, you can't just get everything here and say, oh, you got to get that concrete before we put the culvert.
Correct.
They should know.
They should know that.
I would think.
We watch Perry Mason.
I mean, he's over there doing that.
And we're always laughing at.
I think for the water.
How they conduct the hearing.
I'm sure he's seen that there. I mean, that's his job.
The listers
as an engineer.
Are
curious. Okay, we're gonna move that.
Yes.
We're gonna move that.
And
if he needs the button in the bank,
really?
He puts the
button
in the bank.
Okay.
Yeah. He puts the culvert in between. That's fine. I don't care.
Me.
I'm sure you got to figure.
You're the judge.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're
right. You know what? I can.
Yep, you can.
Oh, boy, that'll
I didn't pay much attention to it, I just, whatever.
Yeah, I'm getting better go out here.
You're fucking that stupid, you want to get in your playboy and get her, that's your own damn fault.
Well, you'll be getting
true.
Text messages. What's the name on the Perry Mason show that I was the prosecuting attorney who's always foiled by Perry?
Hamilton Burger.
Okay.
Hamburger.
Common sense, it's just. Yeah, because we had
to suppose that was intentional.
From the top.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it must be.
And we had 2 blades, and we both picked it up, and we just tracked together. That's the only way we could get it out of the way. And then where it sat, it sat. It was that. Swing it towards the garage door, right?
Oh, dang.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't want the door, if the old one came out, side, well, I'd get a bunch of snow. So I told him just have it go towards the garage door.
And we can't discuss any of this outside of the meeting right now. I'm just curious to know.
Do you have another copy of this for you or for yours?
I'll just look over your shoulder. You keep it.
Okay.
I've never heard of it before.
It's according to the Googles, Marshall and Swift is an estimator based on construction of a house. And Mike's probably more familiar with this than I am. A 3.0 is a good rating in a person's property that is well built and maintained with an above average level of quality compared to basic construction. So apparently this is an estimator that, and maybe that's
what you're doing. I'm in bridges right now. Somebody asked him, oh, I was Martin Bean asked him to do some engineering for Act 250. He said, I can't. So I'm just wondering if I have 9 bridges to get done.
Harold Concrete interested in.
Mm-hmm.
He's all done concrete.
Mm-hmm. Pulled
out.
Yeah, full bottom out.
I don't know. It's one of them can't tell.
Uh-huh.
It's one of them can't tell yet.
Okay. Well, he bought the gravel pit over in Hampshire.
Yeah.
In cahoots with 2 other guys over there.
Yeah, I've been doing all this work.
Yeah.
But. Bean can't get no help with concrete. And the other day, whatever they did, they poured cross walls.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 places in the middle of the house for a column.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking columns were higher than the frost walls. They had to go dig them up, cost them $7,000. Dig them up and re-pour out. Because they didn't read the paint, can't read the cups.
That's the problem. Right? That's why.
And like he said, for me to do concrete, he said, I have to be there every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because
nobody said.
They can put the forms up, so right. I tell them what to do, but they cannot do it on their own.
No. No. Well, man, it's true. Unless you get a kid that.
Well, he had Potsy.
Can move your grave.
He had Potsy, who'd been with him for 25 years.
Did you notice what? That they give all this great detail?
Can you get much of
but the then says,
so.
The rules can be amended by.
That's what you run into, especially when you're on commercial.
We'll just come up with our own ideas.
He's architecture off this stupid shit.
If
you ain't got a guy on site on that job
kind of
all day long.
Yeah, everything that we said before, you guys can change it if you want.
I think he's got it.
But this is what we're agreeing to.
Yeah.
But we can change it.
Yes.
I don't think he can read his own fucking name. They came
well, that's
in,
good because again,
we had 2
referring back to last year's
meeting,
or appeals,
twist an ankle.
Mm-hmm.
It says here
on a fork truck and hit that
boiler. After notice, the appellant refused
so I can to allow
the inspection, including the interior and exterior of any structure.
Okay. So
the appeal shall be denied.
Come on down, take a look. what you can do.
A big stumbling block last year was that they didn't do an interior inspection.
So it ain't a broken leg.
Right.
So that immediately throws this into some question.
That's expensive too.
Oh, yeah.
I said, probably more expensive than your epoxy.
The drive-by was the way that lay of the land looked for the grade.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless you actually walked it.
Right, you right.
They were there all day.
Well, and it's like the tailor said, they weren't
dotted boyfriend and
appealing based on the inside of the house. It was all, land. I wondered about that because it's like, in a perfect world, they'd be able to walk around the house and make their notes. The house is 2 acres. And then they would go inside and note the condition. I mean, that's the way the form has gone up to make some observations.
This is Harold's kid.
And
he says,
Eric just said, we'll be back in an hour.
I said,
in some cases, like where our house.
Yeah,
it's a dead end. So they drove to the end of the driveway and looked at the house and hightailed it out of there.
I used mine. I went out my truck and got mine.
But then again, the state's the one that set that criteria.
Then you ain't leaving for an hour. Get this job done. Okay, thanks. Mike, I need
instruction.
I think they also did it because there are folks who.
I got two pair in my truck.
Who
carry
don't
them all
let
time.
Anybody well, in the
house. I got a pair of safety glasses, I got a pair of yellow
if they greet
sunglasses, and I got a pair of dark sunglasses.
And
I
they still don't let the listers go in.
The guy, I got my truck, and Ben got his truck.
I got a pair of earplugs right on my dash.
Yep.
And I don't even work the truck. But I know enough that sometimes you need them.
Mm.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is what you get. This is his own kit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about? But this is the problem. I've seen it 100 times. They can't even take 2 steps ahead.
No,
they can't. And their mind is focused on this one thing. And then they're done.
Harold came in with a saw, made the 4 cuts, squared it up. And he told him, he said, take that down 4 inches. He said, don't bust that pipe off.
Right. Fill it in.
Because it's existing.
Yeah.
If he busted it off, he'd be going down a lot further than 4 inches. And Harold said, I'll be back at 1:30. They have them both done. And then Harold came in and they picked it all up and
put it in.
So we did it on a Friday, so nobody would be in the shop on Saturday or something. They set up. So it made work good. But.
And what color is that epoxy? Is
gray.
It gray epoxy, yeah.
Yeah, Harold said that the rest of the floor fall out for that epoxy does.
Well, yeah.
But. Yeah, that's all I see. His kid doing fucking on the vacuum cleaner with a broom.
Yeah.
And getting put stuff in the truck, get stuff out of the truck.
I can pour 30 by 60 foundation with me, the guy that's been with me for 20 years. And you really need two more sidekicks that they don't need to know a lot. But like when it comes to straight from the walls and stuff, I need a 2x4 now, I need a stake now, I need this now. And we always run our string all the way around anyway. And then, but you'd be surprised, it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I get freaking frustrated. Of course, I'm in a hurry all the time when it comes to straightening, because you only got so much time. And you're better off to get it as straight as you can before you start.
That's right.
And, half an inch here, quarter of an inch here, it ain't too hard to straighten. But you start straightening 2 inches of cement that's 10 feet tall, you got some pushing power there, it ain't so easy. But what's nice with me is the way I do it is I always have an excavator there on site, the whole time. So, we'll snap our lines and follow the bottom line with our form. And then Sometimes you gain a little bit, depending. You'd be surprised if you gain without realizing it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, you know, then we'll check square. Well, if we got to go a little bit, we just take that excavator and tweak it just a little bit, and that's good. Yeah. But boy, this mint, I'm telling you, lately this mint has been so sticky. Because they can't control their water temperature down there. And their stone and their sand sits right outside. Well, when they mix it, I'm telling you what. She's sticky. Like, to the point where it's like sticks right to your trowel, sticks right to your rake, you're trying to rake. Rake goes from 3 pound rake to
12 pounds.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. And the more chemicals you add to it, the stickier it gets.
This looks pretty good. The floor looks good in here.
Yeah, it didn't turn out bad. I had one little spot which pissed me off. You're going to get that anyway. On a flat floor, you can't have that thing perfect. I don't care who you are. But no, it turned out good. Carpenters loved it. They said, boy, that was nice. Bought a soft cut saw, they call it. $4,000 for the saw. But as soon as you get done troweling it, you put that saw right on your cut.
And don't put up this mat.
And, which is nice because if you know, when it's hot, as soon as you get a saw and then cut that, the better you are.
So,
we got done cutting it, and then we got the hose, and we started spraying that on. You should have seen the fucking steam rolling off that floor. That's how hot it was. Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, and these.
Well, I was happy with it.
Hello. Hi, Eric.
How are you?
Yeah, it looks good.
Of course, John back to grader in there.
They're just saying.
2 days later. I got two or three like 27 days until I back that grader in there. Oh, I see when he must have brought his blade up. He just barely kept the shrimp back in the door right where I cut it too. And he chipped it just a little bit. Yes, now it'd be worse than that. Give it a year or two. But
people don't realize it takes a long time for cement to cure.
Yeah, do the 27 days.
I was going to say, like 35 days.
27 days cure.
People don't understand. You go down the interstate and only one lane of the bridge is open and ain't nobody doing nothing.
Well, they're letting it cure.
They're letting it cure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then they open the other side and do the same thing.
Correct. Yeah.
I remember when we used to hit the pavement, though, we had a whole bunch of wooden floors.
Mm-hmm.
We tinned them all up and rebarred them and poured concrete. And it took me 7 days before you even put the fork truck
across
it.
That's right. Yeah.
They said, oh, that looks good. And then they built 27 days.
I didn't realize it back then. I'm like, what the fuck?
Just
because
you can walk on it.
I said, well, I said, yeah, if you get them cracks, fold them like that going snail. I put a 14 by 14 door because the print said 14 by 16. So you can't put a 16-foot door on a 16-foot wall. It's got to be 18 feet high. You need the clearance for the door. So I said, they got the print screwed up. So the other two doors are 14 by 14. So I said, we'll do a 14 by 14. And I told John, I said, I'm going to put a 16 for one if you want it. He said, no, we have a 14. So great. And no. But I never give it a thought, this door, and I said, I'm going to 16 for one. I had a little trouble in the last couple of years with this man down there. And I went down and meeting with him, three, 4 weeks ago. Well, I used a 4,000 pound mix not too long ago on the floor, on the house floor, because that's what I had the idea to use. So I need the idea to this one. Just a heat crack. So I cut the floor. So I went back down. I said, listen, this still ain't working. I said, I did everything you told me to do. I put all my foam strip around the cement walls. So I had some folks there. I did all that. And so we got to talk. And the other guy said, well, you really ought to be running 3,400. And I said, well, that's what I've been on. But I've been running 3/8 aggregate because it's a better crane. Well, I got to talk with Harold. He said they did a study on 1.5 stone versus 3/8 and Bob Kelly. And he found that the 3/8 cracked more than the 1.5. So I told him, I said, that gives me at least 3/4 in my floor mix. And we've been doing that with the 3,500, and it seems to be going pretty good. I won't even pour a 3,000 mix anymore. So I don't even bother a 3,000 mix. But man, the beans, we had one crack. And I told Ben, crack pretty good. I said, I'm telling you, they came in here, did all this site work, moved all this dirt around. I said, there was a great big bank right here, and they knocked this all down. I said, I think what they did was it's disturbed dirt that we're pouring on. And it hasn't had time to really settle in over the years. So we compact everything we do before we pour. And I said, I think what's happening is, Mark, don't wait for nothing. Well, no, as soon as that fence pours, this man, that's another. That's what you think about. Also, 2 days later, dude, you poured it in November. It didn't even have time to cure, dude. And you're putting all this weight on this thing. You can't expect it.
Yeah, I saw that happen.
I think that's the state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I usually wait a good week. And I do it in less inside now. You know, a piece of crosswall, I'll do it inside now in less as I come up through.
What happens? What's happened to your horses?
No, it's my truck.
No, these were last revised in 2022.
They'll drive that truck to do your floor. You ain't watching them. They'll drive that right up to that wall. It's like, you guys, I want you 3 feet from my wall. I said, you see that tire that just sunk?
Know, like
2 feet? What do you think they're doing that wall?
So you put some pressure somewhere.
Yeah. then. That's when you get into the dirt digging.
Cash.
Yeah.
A little lot of cash. Mm-hmm. 1.3 million.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a nice help for somebody that.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you bought both of them brand new trucks. Mm-hmm. And that big excavator.
Mm-hmm. It makes a huge difference.
Cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he bought that other one. The one he bought. The front one. He bought it. You. For about. I can't talk to you. 55.
All right, we're opening the meeting at the present time, which my phone says is 6:13, and welcome to everybody that's here. I'm the chairman. My name is Tim Peters, and I have I can't see very well, but I'll muddle through. So in calling the hearing to order, we have the necessary. This is a hearing for Eric Waring. Is Eric okay for?
Yes.
Is that how you go by? Or yes. And then that's you too, right? That's what I was like. Wait a minute. So, all right. Well, Mr. Waring, I apologize for butchering that all hell, but in any event,
it's been far worse before, so.
What's that?
It's been far worse in the past.
So I'm opening the name. The property location is on Back of the Moon Road, and the parcel ID is 019-622-4209. And we'll be conducting the information collecting portion of the meeting, and then what happens next is we'll have a conversation back and forth. You folks will present, I'm sorry, the lister will produce, introduce the property and the valuation, and then you guys will then give your description and what evidence you have for your appeal. After that, the lister will respond to what you mentioned in your statement.
Eric is not a lister anymore. He's the appellant.
Oh, you're the appellant.
We're the board of listers, and Eric is the appellant.
Oh, man. I apologize. You guys are playing way too... All right, then, Eric. I will get the listers to... Well, I explained all that.
Yep.
In any event, we will fight our way through. And then after you appeal... No, yes. The listers will respond to you in terms of what you presented. Then the BCA, Board of Civil Authority, will ask questions. And then after that, I will assign a three-member board of inspection, and they will come out at a different date and do an inspection of the property. They will come back to the board at a time of our choosing within 30 days to take their report of what they what their findings were. And after that, we'll reconvene and okay, recess date, no more than 30 days. We'll announce the hearing date. We'll have the inspection committee do their report. Then there'll be a final comments from the appellants and a final comment from the listers. So, with that in mind, I need to administer an oath to both Eric and the listers. So, if you could, you can just do that from where you're seated. I don't think
we'll have. Do you want me to just give these to them?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was a
written. It just says, under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you give to the cause under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And if you agree, you sign. I didn't put you on there because you're not. You're recused, right? It says the same thing as theirs.
And the evaluation.
So the property, where you, I guess, is property ID number 0196224209000. I hand these all out. We've got packets for you to all look through. That way, there's plenty of homework to do.
You.
She always recused herself and just served as secretary, so that's what I'm going to do as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so you'll find it in there. Get through there. But the address is 273 back of the Moon Road, Eastburg, Vermont, 05832. It's a single type building, 1.5 story finished, studded. With a quality of 3.25, which is an average good quality. As you can see, if you can find that cost sheet in there, you can look right down through it, and pretty much self-explanatory.
Okay.
I can jumble through it, read it off to you, but
it will be exhibit two.
Cost sheet of this property of the value prior to the grievance hearing adjustment and the value after the grievance hearing, the adjustment we came to.
Thank you. So is there anything more that you wanted to add?
Nope, that's the property.
Okay. Now, I'm a little bit confused by, okay, this first sheet on your valuation, Exhibit 1.
Exhibit 1 is the value after the 2024 grand list.
Okay.
He came in and grieved it, so for 2025, we changed it. Exhibit 2 is the value after grievances, after we had made the changes.
Gotcha. At a previous value per square foot of $138.62 after the grievance.
Okay.
And our adjustments became $116.57 per square foot. Square foot is a major part of valuing any property, and that's primarily what you should be looking at.
I see. Good.
So to be clear, you raised the quality rate.
No, we lowered the quality. The previous quality was a 3.5, which is average good, and we lowered it to a 3.25, average good.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you reduced the square foot.
Which in value. Turn reduces the square foot value.
So it's an automatic reduction?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's indexed.
Yes.
And pulls the data from another table inside the program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then, Eric, your evidence? Is...
I'm not sure what they presented, but I got one copy.
Oh.
I got them. I'll give it to you if you want, Tim.
Sure.
I've made notes at the top, so you'll have to bear with my hand scratches.
That's
but
fine.
The numbers correspond.
Yeah.
So if you flip this page on.
Yeah, that's fine. Flipping page.
This is goes to the section 2.
Okay.
So 1 and 2 to
section
2.
Okay.
Because that's this. I had two things labeled section 1 and section 2 that I have an issue with.
Okay.
So to start with, I'll just go down through pretty quick and simply on this. A couple years ago, I went down and took the advanced data collecting course with the state.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anybody else has done that. I've had a couple of the IAAO courses. This is my house is a classic Marshall and Swift 3.0 house.
Good.
So if you look through the first ones that I labeled here, after you go through my first three pages, which is mine. You had one for that ends in 10061, which is the Clary property.
Okay.
That's essentially the same house as my house. Quality is a 2.5.
Okay.
The second page is Jim O'Brien, another one of the abutting neighbors. His house is a T-shaped building, a more complicated building to build.
Yeah.
It's got two valleys in the roof. Quality is a 3.0.
Okay.
Then you go down to the bottom, and you've got the third sheet and the fourth sheet of the two log houses down at the bottom. One's on the corner of Hayes Road and Ridge Road. The other one just sits up the road. Carbon copy houses of each other. Those are 3.25 quality houses.
Okay.
Which probably rightly so. That's what they were built as in the day. They might even be a 3.5, but regardless of that, those more complicated houses to build are the same as my simple rectangle. So that's what kind of burns my toasties a little bit on that. My floors are just tongue and V groove 2x6.
Okay.
That was polyurethane. We put a little paint on it. There's nothing. It's just subfloor material. It was enough to satisfy the bank to get us in. And I just left it. On one of these days, maybe I'll get rich and famous and finish it. But that's what it is. Number three. And most of it is 100% complete. If you look through to the sheet label number 3, which is it's a neighbor of ours over in South Derby, they have a percent completed their house at about 90%, or at 90%.
I'm probably a little bit further than that, but I don't have finish on my doors. I have a lot of trim missing, a couple wires sticking out of the wall, a couple pipes still exposed. Maybe before I croak, I'll finish it. Maybe not. It might be enough. But, not too worried about it. It's my house. Keeps me warm and dry. Number four on my list is last year, another one of the abutting neighbors, all of our sites were graded as a 2-0 site. Theirs was reduced to 1.5. Now, there's no equity, no fairness between having abutting lots, having such a drastic difference from one to the other. They've either got to bring that one back up, or they've all got to come down. You know, somebody roll the dice, figure out what they want to do. I'm good with it either way. Number five, I'm listed as 100% hot water, radiant heat. I'm not. My whole second floor, there's not one stick of radiation anywhere. I've got baseboard and radiant tubing on my first deck because I've got an open ceiling. Right. Upstairs is heated. Does it always stay as hot as it should be? Maybe, maybe not. Sometimes it's too warm.
Yeah.
And number six, and then I found, actually I'm going to add to it because at number seven I found an error, another error as I was looking through making notes on these. My pond, which is going to end up costing me, but I want the data right. I could care less.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I want the data on the sheet to be correct.
Okay.
And it's not. So my pond is listed as a minimal low cost pond. Neighbors down at the bottom of the hill just dug a pond. And they're actually one of the ones that I put in here, and there's a note on it that the pond's missing. But I'm listed as a minimal low cost, and then my other neighbor, the one that had the lot changed from a 2.0 to a 1.5 for the site value, he's got a pond that's listed as a typical average pond, which is similar to mine. So my pond should be a typical average pond. Just like I said, it's going to cost me money, but I want the data right. I don't really care.
Yeah.
And then as far as my section two goes, the biggest issue I have is all my floor joists have failed. You open the door and the floor's done this. I've got to get in and basically replace all the rim joists and the floor joists, or I got to burn it, one or the other. I don't think I can take it down because the way I've constructed it, I've got rigid foam, and it's been foam sealed into the wall cavities and the wiring's in, and it's just going to be a nightmare to try to tear it apart and
right.
fix it. I think I can do the floor, but right now, the building's useless. And then as I was looking through it, the other two things that I found is that there's a floor covering and there's an allowance, which just assumes that there's maybe some vinyl, maybe some hardwood flooring, maybe carpet. It's a subfloor at best. And there's also no heat in the building right now. I took the water pump out, disconnected it, and it's still listed as what it was. You know, I brought this in front of the board
yeah.
at the prior meeting to this, and it wasn't addressed. So now to add to this letter, as you look down through this, you'll see about a third of the way down in the top section, there's an energy adjustment. If you look at every other parcel, the other log houses that I presented, they're all listed as average. Mine is listed as good. They're all 25, 30-year-old buildings. And, you know, they should either be average or they should all be good. But, they, you know, you can't put one in one state and put one in another state. It's just, there's no equity in it, no fairness to the person that's getting hosed on it. So that is essentially, in a nutshell, my evidence.
Okay.
Feel free to ask any questions. I'll do my best to answer them.
Eric, what is this, the building that you're referring to, that the floor joists have failed? What building is that?
It's a little camp I have behind my sugar house.
Okay.
It's what I lived in when I first moved up there, before I built the house. And then I've added on a bathroom to it when I first moved in. And then 10 years ago, I decided to fix the roof because I didn't like it. And I got to the point where it was weather tight again, and a mouse chewed on a wire and irritated the snot out of me, ate a couple screens, and I closed the door, and I haven't been back in basically because of just being mad at a darn mouse. I don't know how he got in. I don't care. I set some mouse traps, caught him, closed the windows, and Now the floor is what it is, so. Mickey and Minnie have been evicted.
Okay.
I have a question about the energy adjustment. What does that drive? What value does that drive?
That's that 295 value. If you look over to unit cost of 295, and then if you go to one of the other ones, Clary's place with an average number, there's nothing in there. Jim O'Brien, average, nothing. The Shields property, average, so there's no kicker to it. Genevieve's property at the bottom of the hill, average, there's no kicker to it. So mine is being kicked up $295 a square foot because it's deemed as a good versus average.
And your contention is because they're the same age, should have this. It doesn't make any difference what type of heating it is.
No.
What would you say would take you to 100% completion?
I got to put the moldings up. I got to finish a couple wires. That's a couple exposed sewer pipes. It's a lot of baseboard trim and the flooring. I'd have to put something down for a floor.
And you said you had tongue and groove base.
Looks similar to this.
Yes.
Get mm-hmm. old, the old farmhouses that had white plank floors. There's grooves in between each one, and if you spill milk on it, it runs down into the basement. Mm-hmm. Now it runs down into radiant heat, depending on where you are on the floor. Mm-hmm. So then it just smells. So you got to rinse it, or go down and pick an insulation panel. That's
What would you say it is at this point complete? 99%?
Between 90 and 95. When you see it, there's work left to be done to it, but it's mostly trim work. Had to get a carpenter at this day and age to do it. It'd be a challenge. I did a lot of what's in the house myself, and I enjoyed working with wood, but I don't have time, so.
Okay.
Could I ask the listeners if you considered the house 100% complete, or did you?
So,
did you say any?
Yeah, reiterate that everything has been answered in that packet if you have the patience and want to look through it and read it. At some point over time, percent complete, when does it end? Percent complete, it gets flagged every year. So do we go out and look at it every year? At some point, it's complete as you're ever going to do it. It's got to stop somewhere. So in this case, in order to adjust for that and not have it flagged every year, we put in a 17% functional depreciation, which increased it to 17%. The 7% functional depreciation created the same negative value as a 10% unfinished. And that's what we did, which was explained in our letter. For our results on the
If you read the cover letter, it explains in there where it is, and it shows the cost.
And right on the back of the cost sheet, it says the new cost sheet that was printed with the new results, 7% functional for unfinished. I mean, must have seen that probably.
Let me ask if you considered that to be just an expedient adjustment, or whether you thought a 10%, what equaled a 10% reduction in the overall value of the house, was perhaps generous?
It doesn't have to do with generosity as so much of a percentage of complete, a graph that we have to look at what is complete, and using that sheet, we come up with a percent complete. But again, at some point, it's as complete as it's ever going to be. You're never going to finish it, so forget about it. Why keep saying it's as complete as it's going to be? And by keeping it as percent incomplete, it gets triggered, so the next spring when we're going through the paperwork, it says you've got to go visit these properties because they're incomplete. Well, that generally deals with people that are in construction, building their house. Right. It's 50% done, it's 25% done, mm-hmm. 75% done. Not a house that's 25 years old.
Yeah.
That's never going to get done. So we're to come up with a value equal to the 10% incomplete, we use a 7% functional depreciation, and in that packet you can see it's spelled out. The values are within.
I understand what you did. What I don't hear from you is any justification for saying the house is incomplete.
You told me it's incomplete.
Okay.
That's all I've got to go by. And based on what he said needed to be done, we used his wording. And again, you'll see this when you go to the property. And we can only come up with our values based on what we have to work with. You can derive your own values.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Maybe a couple of other things here. So these properties are all addressed in this packet. You can compare the qualities of the Burns house based upon the qualities he listed. Now the site value being much lower on these houses on a maintained road, well, yeah, that's not a good site. You eat dust all summer. You're right on a maintained road. You have no view. When your value is, or your site is based on, you know, many factors. Is a value right on a maintained road with cars buzzing by 100 miles a day as valuable as a dead end road with no traffic? Well, I don't know. That's for you guys to decide. And as, you know, you can look at that. Finished floor, so allowance is used, I think, in, what did we say? It's in that packet. You'll see how many properties actually used allowance. No floor cover only gets used if you can't walk in that with socks. I mean, you're going to get slivers. Pretty much hunting camp, you know, something to that effect. The neighbor's site is listed as a 1.5. That's right, it is. We did not put that at a 1.5, and I feel it is too low, but that's where you put it. So when does it stop? The Board of Civil Authority put that as a 1.5 last year, so now do we just throw everything out and lower everybody to a 1.5? Where does it end? It's got to end somewhere, I think. So we can only do the best we do based on everybody in this town. We can't take one person into consideration. So we didn't, and that's where the value came from. The ponds, yeah, I didn't realize he had two ponds, so I guess that will have to be adjusted. There's a permit in for a larger pond. In that packet, you will see there's a pond breakdown based on size and
quantity.
Size, and like if you can access your pond, if you can swim in it, or if you can't do anything with it. And that's all broken down into that packet, so there will be three ponds that need to be valued eventually. And I'll let you guys kind of sit that out as you want. The camp, we did adjust the camp. We looked at that. That is also in there. You'll see the before values and the after values of the camp. Or the rental. It's now a camp. It may be brought back to a rental eventually. But yeah, so we don't have to. We adjusted it. It was a $23,400 value, and it, after Mr. Waring, it wasn't needed to be bulldozed. We put it in for 13th grade. But when you visit that, you will have the opportunity to see that as well.
Okay.
But everything is in this packet. I really reiterate the fact that you should. All these questions are answered in this packet. If you can take the time to
look
through it. And
can you just address the energy adjustment that you mentioned?
Sure. So if any of you guys on the board live in log cabins that may have been built prior to 1999, you know, the things you use to insulate those cabins back in the 60s and 70s may not be the same level of technology that you used in 1999 when this house was built. So what, and that's...
Well, and I live in a log house. Mm-hmm. There's huge variation by who built it, whether they really knew what they were doing when they built it, you know. So it's kind of a determination that you learn as somebody who's lived in that house for 36 years, what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, the solution at our house, because it was my stepdad's house, he put a parlor stove down in the living room, and the stairs is, you know, 10 feet to the left, and it goes all upstairs. And in fact, the first few winters, we had to put sliders on down on the stairs on the first floor and open the slider on the second floor, because all the heat just goes right up the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand, you know, what Eric's talking about in terms of radiant heat. That's kind of a generous term, but that is what's happening. So,
well, I have radiant tubing, so
it's
there.
So, in any event, yeah, there's a huge variation when you start talking about who, whys, and wheres of.
And of all houses, this isn't just a log cabin thing.
Right.
This is all. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to.
Well, I think you make an excellent point that our inspection committee needs to go up there and lay eyes on what exactly we're talking about and try to resolve the two extremes that we're hearing about. So, anybody else have any questions?
So you're saying that because the log cabins prior to 99, they tend to fall in at zero, anything built after that can...
No, all I'm saying is that a log cabin built in the 70s has different energy factors than a log cabin built in 1999.
Okay.
In our house, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up where when I went to bed at night, if I wasn't tired, I just, in the wintertime, we'd draw pictures on the windows, and it was on snow. I mean,
not
her frog.
Insulated windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the energy adjustment comes into effect with some of these houses in this town are significantly better than other houses.
Not just houses, but just
houses in general, farmhouses,
So to stay on that same subject, the energy adjustment, if it's average, is 295 a square foot?
We don't have that in that packet, and I would have to look. That's a question that wasn't on his list, so he didn't address it on paper in that. What it would have to, well, I don't know. I guess look through an average may not be any value.
Right. I think that's what Eric was saying, is that
a good would be a value, maybe a below average would be a negative value. You'd have to, I can't tell you, an excellent value would be more than a good. Very good would be,
But there can be a negative value.
I would imagine, yes. I'm quite sure there's houses in this town that probably have a negative energy adjustment.
We didn't know about that ahead of time, so I didn't prepare. I tried to prepare cost comparisons for you guys, because you have to come up with a value. We did not know about the energy, so I did not prepare a cost comparison for that. And we don't know until we turn the computer on and try different scenarios. We just don't know.
Where you're going to run into trouble. The more you know, the more confusing it'll be, I believe.
And that's it.
But you guys have to give us a value.
Right.
So I'm trying to prepare you with different scenarios the best I could. I just didn't have that information to run different scenarios on that.
And that value could be greater than the value.
And my listers are new. They just were elected this March, and so I'm trying to help them out.
No, it's fine. I appreciate the packet. I'm not really equipped right now to absorb it all now, but I'll take it home.
Everything is answered with comparables, value comparables, to help you guys make a decision.
Okay.
All right.
Anybody have anything else? All right. Well, I think we've heard what you guys have had to say.
I do have one other thing to
chime
in.
Okay.
This is another one of the abutting
parcels up there.
Okay.
And you can see year built 1986.
Yep.
Energy is good. So it's not applied uniformly.
And what parcel is that?
Thibodeau's. Thibodeau's.
Yeah. Good. Eastburg.
It's the house.
Oh, that's their address. Yeah.
It's the house just before you get to the top of the hill.
So the listeners are saying that you've addressed pretty much everything here that he and this.
Yeah, according to the. The Commissioner's appeal letter that we had to prepare with.
Except for the pond issue.
Ponds are in there as well.
They're in the packet, but I didn't. When we adjusted after the initial grievance hearing, I didn't realize he had a second pond. And his pond, based on all the other ponds in town, lined up right where we had it. It fit right into the puzzle. Mm-hmm. So I didn't adjust it, because again, you start moving everybody else around, and where does it end? If you there's got to be some constant.
Andy put a permanent for a larger pond, so there's going to be three ponds on the property, all three different sizes, three different values. So to be fair.
Are they recreation ponds or are they fire ponds?
You can ask him.
Just there for ponds. Water?
For so not for livestock or anything?
No, right now the pond that's in front of the house has already dropped about a foot. The one that's the second pond, or second or third pond, whatever you want to call it, is a pipe that runs into it that runs to liquid ring vacuum pump, and that's all it's there for, and that's down about a foot. And the only one that's actually not dropped yet is the big pond that I started digging that I've held off on finishing because I was afraid we were going to get rain like we got last summer and the year before, and I wasn't sure how to do it. And I think I finally figured out how to make the pond actually survive something like that. So one of these days, you know, get down and tinker with it here and there, but it's maybe two of these tables in size, three tables, tops, surface area. It's just a little mud puddle. The other one's maybe two tables. It was three buckets with a big excavator and call it a day, because that's all I needed was to get some water that I could feed the vacuum pump under gravity and not deal with it. So.
And in the grievance, the pond, he was complaining out. He said we had undervalued. He wanted us to increase the value of the pond.
So.
All right. Paul, well, what you want all this and put our, send out our inspection team and then go forward from there.
Okay.
So the homestead value was dropped from 474.
$3,000 to $430,000. Is that correct? That's what you're, that's what we're working from. It went from 485.6 to 444.
All right.
Okay, so if you look at the 2024 value, exhibit number one, that was the prior value. There's three pages to it. On the last page, property value, $485,600. Total property value is what you would want to look at.
Oh, right here, $485,600.
Okay. Yeah, right here. And so, and we reduced it to $440,400. And that's exhibit two on the third page. Total property value, again, is what you want to look at.
And so, Eric, do you have some thoughts regarding, and you feel that the 440 is still too high?
The data's wrong.
Okay.
And we just want to point out that we did a reappraisal in 2024. Our CLA at that point was 102, which is exactly where we want to be. So we don't think the values in town were off. The state says we're perfect.
I'm just reading through some of the stuff that they handed to you. And if you read through it, some of what they came back with is not entirely for their benefit.
Well, but, yeah, we can.
You know, when you look at the lots, when you pick settings, there's a couple they used that they are very high. And when we set the value, when we were riding up the road as listers, we said we're going to put all these at one number. And as we get closer to Burke Mountain and some of the even better views, we're like, we have to put these sites even higher. So that's how they got set. I wasn't on the trip the day that we went up Hayes Road. I kind of had to tap trees. Somebody's going to make a living.
And so on the last page in the booklet, there is a map. All the comparable properties that we've had are like within 2 miles of our of Mr. Warren's property. So whoever goes on a site visit or any one of you can just drive by, take a two-mile trip and drive by all these properties and just compare it. And use your own judgment.
But I'd like to elaborate a little bit on Tracy's question because I think it's important. Eric, you said you want to set the record straight on values in your...
I want the data correct.
The data correct is what you said.
And it's not.
So... Do you have the finished value grade in your mind is what it...
Finished value grade.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My house is a 3-0 house. That's Marshall and Swift definition. That's what the state would tell you if you went to the advanced data collecting course. I don't know what else to say.
So we had a comparable, as Dennis LaCosse's, with a very similar style house.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's on the map. If you want to drive by, it's close by.
But.
So you feel it's a 3, not a 3.25.
Yeah. And while you're looking at Dennis's, look at the two log houses that are seated at the 3 1/4. And then go up and look at Jim O'Brien's, which is right next door to me, which is a T-shape, which is a 3-0. So how can one T-shaped house be a 3-0, two at the bottom of the hill be 3.25s? And I'm not sure what Dennis's was. I didn't bother looking it up because it is what it is. You know, I just look at Mary and Miles Evers. I think they got theirs in a 3.5. We're trying to come up with values when we're setting stuff. And there's only so many places that you can change stuff.
And it's cost per square foot is what you want to look at. It's the cost per square foot.
And being
we're looking at market value.
You're only looking at the house. Is that correct? You're not looking at road frontage. The size of the lot.
We address that in different ways.
In different forms, first of all.
Yeah.
View shed. Maintenance of driveway. Like all of these things. So essentially, when you're talking about 3.25, you're talking about the home.
Yes.
The 2 acres that it sits on.
That's the site grade for the house. The first 2 acres and then whatever residual land is in is the AC of it.
And you agree that the camp is 3.
That's typical average building.
But that would be the same as your house, and the 3 for the cabin, what you mentioned about the floor joists are not good.
That goes to the condition.
So again, in the booklet, in the coverage page, I addressed that. What we did for the camp is because it's not complete. So we put it in with the data as if it were complete, and then we back it off. And I think it's at 40% complete. We're 50% complete. And then after his grievance, he said because the floor had collapsed, we took an additional 10% off that. So it's 50% complete, and then we took 10% off that. It's up to you guys. I don't know what to do with the camp. We don't know what to do with the camp.
But that doesn't address my concern.
So you guys can come up with, again, you have to come up with a value. You can take a look at it and come up with a value. I don't know what to say about it.
So if I'm not mistaken, Eric, a Marshall and Swift house.
It's a book about all that thick.
Right, but you're considering your house a Marshall and Swift house.
Well, when you look through the Marshall and Swift definition of what an average, you know,
and all that Marshall and Swift grade is a 3.0 if it's considered a Marshall and Swift.
Yeah, and that's
house.
Part of what the advanced data collecting course. I don't have the papers.
That is true, but it's nationwide. I would use the comparables that we have in town because we just went through a reappraisal and we treated everybody fairly at the reappraisal.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily Marshall and Swift book.
And the appraisal that you have...
Because Marshall and Swift is like a nationwide grading system, and we're looking at Kirby, the town of Kirby. So.
Now back to the 102 you talked about, that was based off, you said the value you have that house set at right now
mm-hmm.
is 102%.
So the CLA, the way that we had to do the reappraisal to bring the CLA up.
Yeah.
Because we have to bring it to market value. So
right.
When we did the reappraisal last year, we had used a prior 3 years of sales. The sale in Mr. Waring's area, a log house, it's exhibit Exhibit 5, the Shields property, their price per square foot on the house is 126, and Mr. Waring's is at 116 cost per square foot.
Okay.
The Shields sold, that house sold in 2024 for $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 3 acres of land, 3.4 acres of land. And Mr. Waring has 50 acres of land, an additional building, a sugar house, a pool shed. So, you know, we're looking, if we're looking at the house, we're just looking at cost per square foot.
Right. Okay.
So that sale property is higher than what his is at right now.
But at the same quality. At the same 3.25.
Again, it's within a 2 mile radius. Drive by and take a look.
Okay.
It's something you need to put your eyes on to see.
In looking at what you did before, in reducing the property value on the last appeal, you started out at 485,600. You reduced it to 444,000. That was a reduction of about 10%.
We addressed different things. We took the fact that it's not complete. Again, I wasn't there for the for his grievance hearing. He talked with Mike and Merle, and I just helped work the program because they're new. They don't know how to run the CAMA program. And they said to take 10% off. So like we were trying to explain, instead of having to keep going back year after year after year, we calculated the numbers a little bit. There's an example in your booklet of what 10%, a 90% house, what that would bring for a value, and what a 7% functional depreciation would come. It was like a $100 difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we used 7%. We played with the numbers a little bit, and
okay.
That's what it came up with.
Yeah.
Where that 10% came from, I don't know. I wasn't there during the grievance hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I just helped them with the program.
I rather suspect it came from the same that we've heard tonight, Eric. You think the house is 90% done?
No, I didn't say percent
no.
done. I said 90-95% somewhere in that ballpark. It's not complete.
99%?
90-95.
Oh, 90-95.
And I only used that because we put the other parcel in at 90%.
Mm-hmm.
We also addressed other things.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, if you guys want to put it at 90% instead of the 7% functional, I mean, the value doesn't matter. They're close enough. It doesn't matter to us whatever way you want to do it.
So the data that you put in your machine you're talking about makes a difference on the value of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
And that's why that's why you're saying data. That's why you're back to the data.
Yeah.
Being put into the machine wrong.
But he's saying the data. I mean,
I'm
data
just trying to figure
complete.
This out.
Well, the data is so he's saying the quality is complete.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, six in one hand, half a dozen in the others. It is what it is. Say what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we, during the grievance hearing, he said, well, my quality's too high. So we looked at the quality and we looked at surrounding properties. We've all got these. Well, all right. You know, we looked at things and we came to a 3.25 quality instead of the 3.5. Maybe you guys will find out this is better than those other two houses. Bring it back to the 3.5. You know, that's your decisions to make, whether it be a higher value you guys come to or a lower value or the same value. That's all we can do is prevent the evidence that we've done the best of our ability, not biased to anybody else in this town, but as to inaccuracies in the, well, inaccuracies, maybe because he doesn't like it, you know, he's not saying it's an inaccuracy based on the number he wants in there, not the number that we generated as to a fair and equal across the board, like the allowance. Well, the allowance is used fair and equally across this whole town. You look at, you know, check out your spreadsheets. There's probably allowance on your houses. Well,
that's a cop out for not wanting to go in and measure what's in the flooring. It's universally done for every town that Nimerick does. It's not a big deal to me, other than the fact that it's not right on something
so
that has
to measure out the amount of carpeting in Illinois.
You know, it's a waste of time to go in and measure so much stone, so much hardwood, so much carpet, so much vinyl. It, you know, when you get all said and done, roll the dice, you're going to come up with the same number with allowance. It assumes it's $3 or $4 a square foot or whatever the adder is, and it runs it. And generally, it's pretty much, it's close enough for, and if you do it for everybody, it's fine.
Which we have, and minimal floor cover, or no floor covering, is used in, like I said earlier, in camps or places where you can't walk around in your socks because they're, you get slivers in your feet. That's no floor covering. You know what no floor covering is.
I think the difficulty comes with the fact that the listers have to make a subjective judgment on quality. But the computer itself, when you put that subjective judgment in, comes out at a machine-generated objective number. And so when listers come back from a decision-making process of land values, as they did last year, and reduced the land value in your neighborhood,
on one piece.
It was a reduction in value that then had to go into the machine and be justified by a reduction in that concrete number that is used in the machine to make the reduction. And then we get out of kilter. Yes. So it's an imprecise product that you all have to come up with. And
so we're not just putting information into a computer and coming up with a random number. We have a number in mind that this house is worth a number according to the sales that have occurred. I mean, we're not just winging it. We're putting thought into what value we want on these properties. So yes, by changing what you did last year was not fair to the neighbors.
Yep.
All right. Everybody all set with their questions?
I think so.
All right. Then I think we're done for this evening.
We have to schedule the inspection.
Yeah. What's that?
We have to schedule three people to go.
Right.
The
yeah.
Inspection.
No, I'm sorry. I just meant it for our guests here. You can stay if you want. I'm going to throw the question to open to volunteers before I ask the name. So do we have three people that can make this happen? The inspection, that is.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that.
In 30 minutes, you can be done if you want to drive up, look at it.
I
would like them to do it during the day so you can look at the comparables as well.
Yeah, I think they will.
I think we've got a lot of stuff to go through before we can decide.
Right. Well, we need
not smoke.
We do need to be on the schedule because that has to be inspected and then reported back to the board.
And I would also like clarity if you want the listers. Apparently, last year you wanted the listers here afterwards, and we did not get that email in time.
Okay.
So
well,
if you want the listers
yeah,
to
that,
be here
that's,
again.
That's the process.
I think everyone's supposed to be here for the reading of the inspection report.
Yes.
But then you guys would all leave while they deliberated and then
well, as it reads, I'm assuming this is a
statute. I had
received that
email last year.
It doesn't say it is. But
I think it was the day before the email.
Here's what the state says.
My fault.
And I didn't know about it until after the fact.
Well, that's fine. We worked through it. We had enough struggles then anyway. But So we're going to call an end to the meeting tonight, suspend the deliberation. We're going to inspect, we're going to appoint an inspection committee, 3 members of the board, and we're going to set up a time for them to come back within 30 days to report their findings to the board. Once we do that, we invite the inspection city. Okay, so then once the board gets it, then we offer you, the appellant, to come in and make comments on what the inspection committee found. And then the invitation is extended to you guys to have your comments. And the dates of the meetings and everything, Aaron will, you know, make sure that everybody gets notified this time. You know, we were kind of grasping for straws, let's say, last year.
It's my understanding also that there's no discussion or questions at the actual inspection.
That's correct.
That's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what they're saying here is that, you know, the board will hear the inspection report, and then we will set another meeting in which they will be invited and comment on the findings based on what the inspection committee had and what the board is deciding. No?
I think that's all supposed to happen.
Okay, well, we'll clear that up, and everybody will be notified. And if you can't make it, you know, that's just going to have to be, we're not, we have schedule requirements that the state has on the actions of the board, namely in terms of days. The final step is that we'll enter into deliberative session and issue a written decision within 15 days of getting the report from the inspection people. So, you know, the first one, once we assign the inspection, they'll have 30 days, and I'm going to see if we can schedule that sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, we have all that stuff where we're gonna consider it. We'll invite the listers and the appellant to come back and hear what the inspection report was that was submitted to the board, and then the final meeting will be our conclusion and decision.
But all of that has to happen in 30 days.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. So.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Motion, second for
when
adjournment.
When are you going to do the site visit? Because you got to schedule that for your adjournment.
Well, I have to find out what everybody can do and who we haven't even, other than Tracy, we don't have any other members. So, anybody want to volunteer? Okay, well, I'll name names then. Yeah, I see you smiling there, Mike. You can do that?
I'll volunteer. I don't care. Okay. Why not?
One more.
I'll volunteer.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay.
If we can set a date that I'm here in town.
Yep. Well,
I just want to close it. We close the meeting, maybe we'll discuss
that. Three of you want to come up with a date that works for all three of you?
We have to come up with that now?
Or
can we have a little time to look at our schedule?
Yeah, well, that's just it. Yeah.
I think you are supposed to come up with a date, because that way Eric will know, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know it's spur of the moment, but...
Well, he can't be contacted after we come up with a date?
I know, but I think it is part of the meeting. We're supposed to do it now.
All right.
Tell me what you're thinking. I'm sorry, I'm talking to Aaron.
Up Aaron?
Because she's giving me these weird looks, and I'm...
No,
she's saying we need to come up with a date.
up with the date.
We'll have to come up with a date for
so that we can tell Eric
the inspections.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Do you guys want to do it during the week, or do you want to do it on a weekend?
I defer to other schedules. I mean, I could do it as next week, Tuesday the 5th, late day.
We'll be in town on the 5th, and I have an appointment at 2 in the afternoon, but we could do it later. So we could do it later in the afternoon.
Tuesday. So
Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Wednesday would work better for me.
Okay. So that's the 6th.
August 6th.
At.
Whatever works for you, ladies, works for me.
It's 5 p.m. Okay. 5:30 p.m.
At night.
5.
Yeah, we can.
Or would you prefer to do early in the morning?
No, let's shoot in the evening. At 5 p.m. is fine.
Okay. Do you want to meet at the property?
What's that now?
Do you want to carpool?
We can meet here if you'd like and carpool from here.
Because you both live within striking distance, so. Yeah, we can come to the town hall and then carpool.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. So 5 p.m.
5 p.m. August 6th.
August 6th.
So that should put us at your place at 5:10.
Okay. Good.
I'd like to ask that we set the date for the next meeting.
Write that down.
Yep.
Yeah, for the next meeting, sometime after the 24th of August, because I'll be gone until then.
It can't be later than the 29th.
Right. So between the 24th and the 29th, please.
I do not have a calendar.
I need to speak to my executive secretary to find out when I'm.
She's listening over there.
Is she here?
She's here.
What about Wednesday the 27th of August?
Wednesday the 27th, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that will work for me.
27th there?
That's on Wednesday.
Okay. Good for me.
And what time?
5:30.
Sure.
Wednesday, August 27th at 5.
As long as nobody wants to go to the fair.
Yeah. It'll be close. It'll be.
That's the first night of the fair, I think.
Yep.
It will be.
I may be down there.
That's what I'm saying, so I don't know.
Yep. All in favor of the journey?
Aye.
Okay. You are adjourned at 7:25.
Go eat.
Next Wednesday works for you.